Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am one of the hosts, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife, Kwajalein, on the line. Honey, are you there?
I am. Hello.
All right. Tonight's topic is a continuation from Friday's conversation we had on our Free Flow Friday. And the topic's title was, What About Our Boys? Education is a necessity in order to gain success within the United States. However, some believe that the education system is not tailored to fit boys, but is a better fit for girls. Boys of all races and ethnicities offer struggles in schools while many girls don't. Is there a problem with the system? Are parents and educators doing enough to set boys up for success? Does the increasing number of ADHD diagnoses in boys play a factor in why boys struggle more than girls? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight. Today's date is October 18th. 8 p.m. Eastern Time is when we will start our show. And we're just going to continue our conversation. Now, I'll go ahead and open up the lines right now. Pastor Michelle, you on the line? Pastor Michelle, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing tonight?
I'm sorry, my phone just keeps messing up. I'm doing great. How are you and Pastor Kwajalein?
We're doing good, actually. Yeah, just a little stressed out here around here with all of this schoolwork, but hey, we'll be all right, I guess.
Yes, sir.
I guess that's my struggle as a boy.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir.
But, yeah, you know, your line is open. Hey, if you have anything to add on to the topic on tonight, which is a continuation from Friday, please feel free to do so.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Ladies and gentlemen and callers that have called in, and we have our listeners that should be listening on the World Wide Web on tonight, we thank you all for joining us. And like I said, we're going to continue on with our topic from Friday evening, in which we discussed about boys having a hard time in school and why is it that boys have more hard of a time in school than girls. Me, myself, I remember saying on Friday just how important it is for not only the students to pay attention in class, but it's also important for the offenders in their classrooms, for the simple fact is this. There are times where kids have learning disabilities, or kids just have different learning techniques. You have those that are hands-on learners, and then you have those that are visual learners that can read something, you know, once or twice, and then they get it down pat, and they have no problem with taking what they've read, comprehending it, and actually manifesting and putting it into work. However, there are some that have a very hard time in being able to read and comprehend. And I think it's very important that the teachers take time to not only gauge their students on their learning ability, but also put a critical thinking tactic into play to give those that are strong at the hands-on to become comprehenders, and those that are comprehenders to become hands-on and become efficient at their hands-on techniques.
Right, I agree. I completely agree, babe. And I think that that may be part of the problem is that we sometimes, well, some, you know, educators and even parents, we don't realize that everyone learns differently. And so in that, we do have to cater to children in a different way. And, you know, when we fail to do that, we put everyone on the same standard, and then that's when we have an issue. So I have a couple of questions that I wanted to ask. I think my husband is about to be excused now. You know, stay on the show. Say hello to your homework. Okay. Yeah, so it'll just be me. And Pastor Michelle for right now. But I have a couple of questions. I asked this question on Friday, and I was wondering what I wanted to bring it back up. Do you all feel that we as educators and parents that we somehow encourage the boys to feel intimidated by the girls when we are doing these standardized tests, you know, tests. We're testing them all the same way, although we know, you know, that we're saying that boys learn differently from girls a lot of times. And, you know, they think differently, they learn differently. And the way that our system is set up, majority of the time, the girls pick up faster. So do you all think that this is setting our boys up to be intimidated by girls in the classroom or in the educational system?
No, I don't, because there's early intervention where parents had the opportunity to start teaching their kids from an early age on how to read. And not only how to read, but you also have exercises out there that can teach your children reading comprehension. So with that being said, I think that the standardized tests are not a bad – they're not bad to the point of where, you know, the boy should be intimidated by the girl scoring higher than him or the girl intimidated by the boy because there's just one or two boys in the classroom that might be on the same level that she is with her education and reading comprehension. I think that the standardized tests, if they're going to do it, I mean, you know, they should keep the standardized test, but if they want to make it gender-based, they can make it gender-based. I mean, that could be a possibility.
So you don't think it's a problem?
No.
That was okay. Pastor Michelle, what do you think?
I think that not just for the standardized testing, but just in school general, before the child even starts school, before they're even born, we always hear boys are, you know, slower than girls. And I think without us consciously realizing it, because it's been into our system all of our lives, that it spills over to our children. And so it's an inherited thing, unfortunately, that or passed down or whatever you want to call it, that's what they hear. And so their mind, without us consciously realizing it, we are already putting our young men in categories. And so they're already, and it's not our fault or the generation before. And so you can't place the blame, but you have to learn how to change it. You have to send your child to school, especially the boys, saying, hey, you're just as smart as a little girl. And you don't even have to say that. You just have to make sure that whatever they require for that grade, they can exceed that. And that's what, to me, again, that's just what it is, because America, the world, has always said that boys are slower learners than girls. And so it's just something that is expected and accepted. And so I think a lot of times that the teacher, because that's what the teacher knows, been taught and seen, because of that's what has been said, it's been seen that way, they don't take that extra time out to help that little boy. Even you do have some teachers that realize that boys, I wouldn't even consider it to be ADHD, they're just hyper, they're boys, that's what boys, that's just them, that's boys. And we're so quick to put a label or a name and introduce medication instead of saying, hey, let me go ahead and focus that this is who he is, so I have to give him extra work or give him extra time, whatever, you know, and take that extra time to say, hey, you, that's enough, stop doing that. We're so quick to medicate because of the stereotype that the world has placed on our young men, and it doesn't matter the ethnicity. And that's just my own personal opinion.
And you're right. We do hear that boys are slower, they learn slower, they're harder to potty train. You know, we hear that. We always hear that if you have a boy or girl. And boys and girls do operate differently. And so I guess that's the thing, because first of all, are we wording things wrong by saying they're slower? Should we say they're slower, or should we just really focus on the fact that they operate differently? And then when it comes to the standardized testing, if they operate differently, if they learn differently, if they think differently, which we see this in boys and girls, we see this in men and women, then is it fair to test them the same way? Or are we doing the boys an injustice? Because overall, I'm going to answer my question, but I'm making a point right now. Because overall, you know, the girls do fare better on these tests. And so are we doing them an injustice? Now, to give my opinion, I think that we are doing the boys an injustice because we are testing them the same way as we do the girls. I do agree that there is a problem in the classroom that, and I do want to get to the ADHD, but I do agree that there is a problem because, you know, it gets frustrated. I was a substitute, and I used to get frustrated just with that, so I can't imagine just being a teacher all the time. But boys do require a lot of redirection just because they're boys. Not saying that girls don't, because let's be real, girls do too. You have some girls that are just as, you know, hyper as the boys. But for the most part, it is the boys because they have more energy, they're different. You know, we talked about that Friday, how the girls may be in a corner reading a book and the boys want to go outside, you know, ride a bike, whatever. Not saying that girls don't ride a bike and boys don't read books, but you guys get what I'm saying. So if we know that they're different, they have different likes, they have different traits, they think differently, I do believe that we may need to reconsider how we test them. Because I don't know if I've ever, you all correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if I've ever heard of statistic or whatever, you know, when they put all these out, but the boys, as far as the testing, have outnumbered the girls, you know. So I believe that maybe things may need to actually be realigned. We may need to reconsider some things. That's my opinion. That's only my opinion. We have another caller. This is Evangel Saria. Evangel Saria, are you there?
Hi, yes, we're here. Y'all say hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you all doing?
Good.
Good, good. So thank you all for calling in. Your line will be open, so we hope that you all will put in on the conversation on tonight. We're talking about our education system and how, you know, is it tailored to girls opposed to boys? And what we're discussing right now, I was asking a question about, do we set boys up to feel intimidated by girls within the school system, you know, when they are doing better on tests and things like that? You know, are we with the system that we have, are we setting our boys up to feel intimidated by girls when it comes to the education system, education-wise? And so that's what we were discussing. We have another caller. Lily, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, thank you for calling in on tonight. You know, your line will be open, so we hope to hear what you have to say.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's, you know, I was just saying my opinion is I think we do need to look at realigning some things, because if we know that boys operate differently, they learn differently than girls, but we're giving them the same test, you know, then I personally just think that it may not be fair. It's just not fair. And then it looks like they're behind, or it looks like they're not catching on as quick, when that may not necessarily be the truth. It's just that they're learning differently. So that's my opinion on that. Pastor Michelle, what do you say about that?
Absolutely. I am in full agreement with you. If we could change the standardized testing, or in some states, like where my kids were going, they were benchmarked. So every so often they had to take these tests at the end of each 6 to 9 weeks, whichever one they were falling under as far as grading period. And what they did is they projected what your child would make by way of the teacher. Then they did a projection of what your child would score as far as the state is concerned, your county, and the gender and race. And so every time Deuce took a test, he was to be below average. And every single time it kind of upset me, because as his personal teacher, I can understand that's what it is, average, but as a personal teacher, she would always put him below average. And Deuce was always in the top 3 percentile. He would beat 97% of the children in many, many, many courses, and he never fell below the 10 percentile. So he was smarter than most. And so that the test for him, it was just a breeze through. Now, with that being said, Deuce was very hyper. He was very mouthy. But the teachers that he had, my other children had them as well. So they were very patient. I was blessed in that area. So they were patient with him. They would call me and be like, okay, Cedric is acting up, and, you know, and I'm on my way. I make my way to the school. But I have seen them, the same teachers that were very patient because of my former, you know, children being in there. I also seen them overlook some students as well. And so I feel that if your teacher is with you half of the year and they see what type of work you're doing, they should be able to rate you on the benchmark test to say, hey, this student right here, those he may be hyper, he can pass the test. And so I do think that they should categorize the test as far as what the teacher feels the student can handle. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be boys, or, you know, but the student, the child themselves. I do think that there should be a categorized test for, you know, boys and girls if need be. But if you have a student that can take, I don't feel, you know, children that have, what do they call, IPs, they're not subject to take the test. They don't have to. Law states that actually don't have to, our children don't have to take these standardized tests. It is too much pressure, and we can opt out of it. But a lot of parents don't know that. So we inadvertently send our sons to school to take this test, and guess what happens? They, even though they may be passing the school year, they fail the test. So they put our child in a failing category, and I don't think that's right, because all the other kids are taking the same test, boys and girls. So that's my opinion on it.
I agree. I personally have an issue with standardized testing. In Georgia, we were the first class in Macon, Georgia. Sorry. We were the first class to do the graduation test. And one of the things that broke my heart was to see so many people that I had gone to school with, because, you know, I lived in the same city all my life. And so majority of the kids I went to elementary school with, you know, were the same ones that I graduated with. And so we went to school together all of those years, and then at the end of the year, because of one test, at the end of your 12th grade year, because of one test, you could not get your diploma. And, you know, I agree that outside of looking at boys versus girls, we do need to look at individuals, because some people are just not good test takers. That's just what it is. So how is it fair to give everybody this test? We're giving everybody this same test and saying, okay, we're testing your abilities or whatever, but everybody learns differently and has different anxieties. And to me, that definitely is something that can be very damaging to a child's, you know, to a child's self-esteem, especially at that point in their lives, because, you know, they're very fragile then. They're still teenagers, even though we're saying, okay, you're 18 and you're grown, you know, I'm talking about the graduation test, but even all through school with the standardized testing. But, you know, they're at a very fragile place in their lives, and to me it can be, you know, detrimental. That's just my opinion on it. I would like to hear, you know, Evangelist Suber, you, your husband, or, you know, your kids, or Leanne, what you all have to say, but I'm going to open the line for Shannon. Hi, Shannon. Shannon? Okay. I don't know if she's, well, her line is open for whenever she wants to say something. Okay. Evangelist Suber, Deacon Suber, Lily, what do you all think about that as far as the standardized testing, boys, individuals, you know, boys versus girls, or just kids in general? What do you all think about it?
I agree, Pastor Quadrillion, what Pastor said. Being that the teachers are with these kids all year, they should have some type of say on how each kid should test and what type of testing should be given to each individual kid. And I do also know the law that she's, Pastor Paige was talking about, as far as, I'm sorry, we just seen this huge male move, so he caught everybody's attention. as far as with the form that you don't, all you have to do is contact the Board of Education and get this form to fill out. Your kids do not have to take that test. And I said, if we ever move back to the state of Texas, I will fill that form out for my kids. So that's my viewpoint.
And Pastor Michelle, we've talked about that before. So do you all believe that by doing that, that they will suffer repercussions from that within the schools?
Absolutely not, because the standardized testing, a lot of times when they do that test, your name is not even on the test, excuse me, in the first place. And if they suffer repercussions, it would be at the level of the teacher, and you as the parent have the right to go and speak to that teacher concerning how they're treating your child. I don't think it would be any level higher than the teacher, though, because the truth of the matter, I've talked to several teachers. The teachers hate these tests, you know, because they get rated on the performance of what their class does. They get rated as a teacher. We had teachers in Tennessee lose their jobs because the benchmark testing was not up to standard. By the second testing. And so the teachers, the truth of the matter is the teachers don't even like the test.
Because you control your weight. Mm-hmm. I don't do that much with the activity at school.
Excuse me. Kenny, you're not on mute, honey. Okay. Go ahead, Pastor Michelle.
I was
We're talking
hills
here, that's all.
I have no
idea.
I was done. I believe if you bring it up to the teachers, I believe if we made enough noise as the school, because the truth of the matter is I have a friend of mine, a great, great acquaintance of mine. Every time her daughter takes the test, her daughter's very, very, very smart. She'll end up calling me for prayer because I'm sorry about that, for prayer, because her daughter will end up getting sick. She's throwing up. She's so worried about the test, which makes the mother go into the tailspin and the father go into a tailspin because of how much pressure they're putting on these kids for these tests. These are truly like make or break tests. It doesn't matter how well you did all year long. These tests can make or break you when it comes to going to advancing to the next grade. And I don't think that's right at all.
Right. So I guess that's what, if you can opt out of it, I don't know. I guess I don't understand why it would affect the kids that do not opt out of it, why it would affect them moving to the next grade. And that's what I told Jeremiah, because his teacher told him that it wouldn't. But I just didn't believe that. Not calling her a liar or anything, this is nothing against her, you know. I'm not saying that. I don't know. In my mind, it just doesn't work that way. In my mind, it just doesn't work that way. So, and you're right. We were talking about. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the lower level grade levels, how it was explained to me was that this is almost just like a placement test of the kids in your area and, you know, around the country. And so they're trying to figure out what they're trying to figure out is how to fix the education system, is what they're saying. When they first started, this is for the state of Tennessee. When they first started the standardized test, and there were a lot of teachers cheating for the students because their job was at risk. It wasn't so much what the students were writing. It was, the placing the students in another grade. It was that if they failed, then the teacher was not doing their job. And that's what they held weight to. And so there was a lot of teachers that were cheating because they didn't want to lose their jobs. And so there was a year that went past, one school year that went past, they didn't do standardized testing. They only did the benchmark testing to try to, I don't know what they were trying to do, but they picked back up and doing the standardized testing and the benchmark testing, which I don't understand. If, like you said, if it's not going to affect my child, if he opts out of it, why take it in the first place? There's no reason.
Right. Right. And you're right. I think when they, because we mentioned this a little bit on Friday about the stress that the teachers are under now. And I believe when they started doing what contracts, because if I'm not mistaken, when we were in school, when you were hired, right? That's how it was when we were in school, I think. That's why, you know, you have teachers there for years. But now they have a lot of teachers that are on contracts. And so they're under this pressure with these tests. And that's what they focus on more, is preparing for the test instead of taking that time out like they, you know, did when we were in school, taking that time out with the kids just to, you know, help the kids, basically focusing on the kids. But now it is about the test, because the teachers need to keep their jobs, because they also have, you know, families that they have to take care of. And that goes back even to the issue that we see in the school system with the girls versus the boys, because, again, like we spoke before, you know, a lot of times girls may catch on a little quicker in some, you know, areas, depending on how it's taught, and the boys may need that little extra sometimes, not that they're slower or, you know, not as advanced or anything like that, but because they think differently. But then the teachers don't have the time to spend that extra time because they have criteria they have to meet in order to prepare for these tests. And so it is truly, it's a problem. It really is. It truly is a problem. Does anybody have anything else to say?
Leanne, did you say, have? Uh-oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just want to say I do agree with the stress that it is on the teachers and what the school board and everybody focusing on the test. We had Tyler had a teacher, Ms. Kerr, that retired, decided to retire because of all the requirements that was coming on teachers for the test. So she just said she would rather retire because she could no longer teach kids the way that she knew about teaching. So she went on and retired.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy. It, they are up under too much. It's just too much. It truly is too much stress. And it's not fair to them, and it's not fair to the kids. Shannon, can you, Shannon's trying to come in. Say something now, see if we can hear you. No. Still can't hear you. I have your line unmuted, though. Okay, she's going to hang up and call back. All right. When Shannon calls back in, then I'll see what she has to say. But I wanted to move on to ADHD and ADD. Now, I know we have a lot of our kids, especially our boys, being diagnosed with ADD and ADHD. I know when we were growing up, I don't remember all of these diagnoses like that. And, you know, you hear older people say all the time, we didn't have all that when, you know, y'all were in school. instead of medication, we had bills. So, you know, back in paddles, and that's what they had back then. You know, you could get your tail toe up in school. Most, you know, you can in most schools these days. But I wanted to discuss that. Do you all think, first of all, is there anyone on the line that does not believe in ADHD or ADD? Or does everybody agree that it is a true diagnosis? Because some people don't think that it's real. Does anybody feel that way, or does everybody agree that it is?
I agree.
My next
I'm in between, depending on the kid, especially if I know.
Right. So you agree that it's an actual diagnosis, but maybe over. Do you think that it's overdiagnosed?
I do think that it's. I do think it can be overdiagnosed, but I do believe it.
And that's how I feel. I do believe that ADHD is a true diagnosis. Not, I'm not sure why we are seeing it more now than we used to, probably because food and all this type of stuff that we are injecting in our kids are, and all of this chemicals and all these things. However, I personally think that it's overdiagnosed, and I think that is part of the problem even that we have with the stereotype with our boys in school, because there are a lot of boys that are diagnosed with ADHD sometimes because they're doing normal boy things, you know, because they may not want to sit down, because they may be hyper, you know, and so the first thing we get is an ADHD diagnosis when that may not necessarily be the case. Now, this month is ADHD awareness, so I do want to give some symptoms of ADHD. Being disorganized, I don't know, lack focus, have a hard time paying attention to details, a tendency to make careless mistakes, have trouble staying on topic, being forgetful about daily activities, being easily distracted by things. I know I'm like three or four of those describe me. Seriously. Hyperactivity, fidgety and squirm a lot, get up frequently to walk around, run or climb a lot when it's not appropriate. They have trouble playing quietly or doing quiet hobbies, always on the go and talking excessively. As far as toddlers, they tend to be constantly in motion, jumping on furniture, having trouble participating in group activities, have a hard time listening to a story, restless, impulsive, impatient. So these are some of the symptoms. Anybody have anything to say thus far about that?
I wanted to say that I agree with you that it's just overdiagnosed, and that people, I think, just sometimes are so busy in their life and life is tiring and everything else that you just want kids to shut up and sit down, and really that's not how they are. That's not what they're going to do. I was talking to my sister earlier, and she was telling me how in one of her son's classes, like almost every boy in the class, they are making be on some type of ADHD medicine. And she started protesting about her son, and they made him go see some specialist, a doctor, to talk about it. And the doctor was like, he's not ADHD, he's bored, you're not teaching him. And they skipped him up a grade.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's what they're doing, or they're not interested. And just, I mean, sometimes kids, they don't want to learn. They're just anxious. I mean, you give them candy as rewards. Hey, you answered this question right. Here, give you a chocolate bar. I mean, they have these, like, treasure chest things that they get to pick stuff out of. And it's a bunch of sweet stuff. Now they're jumping around, and now you're mad, and you're saying they're ADHD. It's like, they're backwards. What are you doing? You just did that.
You are right. I tell you, my child come home with more candy. Y'all, we fine. That's probably why his dad is down there talking to him, because you know he has thyroid problems, right? And so his doctor is concerned about his weight and stuff. But we find candy wrappers and stuff all in his drawer. He comes in the house, and we're like, where did you get that from? My teacher, my bus driver. Like, why are they always giving you this junk? I don't understand that. That bothers me. But they do. I mean, he comes in the house with candy probably 3 or 4 times a week. It's crazy to me. It's crazy. But that's true. That's exactly what they do. And then especially, you know, when it gets hot, when it's summer, kids don't want to sit in. We don't even want to sit in class when it's summer. I mean, we're Christian. We go to church. We'd be ready to get out of church when it's when it's sunny. So they get this fever. You know, they get this fever. And so we have to understand that there are a lot of different things that come into play. They're, you know, of course kids are going to blurt out answers sometimes. You know, you have a lot of kids that are impulsive, but that's not necessarily ADHD. So that's, I really do. I agree with what you're saying, Leanne, and I do think that, you know, it truly is overdiagnosed. It really is. Hey, Mish.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Pastor? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good to have
you.
Your line is open. Shannon, did we hear you?
Okay.
Did you just say hello?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh,
hi.
I'm sorry. Well, my goodness. I wanted to comment. Now y'all talking about something else. I'm like, okay.
Well, go ahead. Go back to what you want to comment.
So I have maybe 2 or 3 comments. I came in on the tail end of the standardized test. I think one of the main reasons why some of the teachers, they really don't know how to teach the children to prepare for those standardized tests, is because I personally think it's intentional. That's just depending on area of town. That's just my opinion. I have 4 children. The age range is 19, 6, 15, 10, and 7, almost 7. And my children have been through different counties. I've had my son, he's my 19-year-old. He recently graduated. and he's in college now. But he went to the school in our zone. And my oldest daughter, who it will be 16 in December, she went to a charter school. And then I have a daughter at the School of the Arts, and then I have my baby girl at the school in the school district, in my school district. And I will say, just from my personal experience, the teaching approach or the teaching methods are different from just my personal observation. The way they have changed the Hope Scholarship here in Georgia, it is very, very strict now. You have to have, for you to receive like a full scholarship, you need to take all these advanced courses. You need to score extremely high on the SAT, as well as have like a 3.8 or something like that GPA. So I think that they do this intentionally. What I've learned from when my daughter was at a charter school, the way her teachers immediately from middle school are preparing them for the SAT, period. They start coaching them. This is what you need. This is how you need to, you know, learn. This is how you need to study. But my son, who went to middle school in the school in our school district, he didn't receive that. So it just really depends on what school they're at. Now she's at a private school. They are already preparing her. She's a sophomore, preparing her for the SAT. She's already taken mock ACT tests. But that's, again, it's a different school environment. And I think it's so unfortunate that we have to, one, send our children to, you know, charter or private or whatever, because my baby girl goes to the school. She's in the first grade, and I ain't feeling her teacher. I think this lady is just tired of teaching. I don't really know, but I'm just not feeling it. I don't like the environment. She won't go there next year, so she will be in somebody's charter school, because I have to make sure that, you know, she gets properly prepared. Now, what I will say, that I have three girls and a boy. I personally think the maturity level is what is the reason why girls may catch on a little bit faster. My son just grew up and decided he wanted to study. He's almost 20 years old. But my daughters, they pretty much have always had that drive, with the exception of my middle daughter. Now, my middle daughter, she started off a little bit slower. So me at home as her mom, I noticed, okay, well, you're catching on. She wasn't catching on her sight words. So I bought all these videos, all this stuff to reteach her, because she wasn't getting it at school. So, and a lot of times parents don't do what they have to do at home to make sure. If you know this is a requirement, then it's your responsibility to make sure that they're properly prepared, because most of the time we want our children to go to college and they look at these test scores. Even if we opt out or choose not to, or if it's racially biased or whatever the case, at the end of the day, it is what it is. So if we want them to advance, we have to do it. I don't agree with that mess. The only reason why my daughter is learning Latin. I was like, why are you, girl, you ain't finna speak no Latin. But the reason why she's learning Latin is because Latin is the core foundation of words, period, of English, of the language.
Right.
If she learns the Latin word, her vocabulary score or whatever on her SAT is going to be through the roof. Now, this is my gifted child. She is kind of gifted, but that's what she's being prepared to. I don't even think they teach that in high school, in regular high school. But as parents, we have to research these schools, because even though it's a private school, I pay $150 a month. That's less than what I paid in daycare. So I will pay that $150 a month, because she's getting what she needs. Now, my comment on this whole ADHD thing. That is my child who was diagnosed as being impulsive. She was diagnosed when she was about 5 or 6 years old, because she was off the meter. There was something going on up in there. However, she has always been a gifted child. And when I had her IQ tested, that's when I found out that she was advanced. And then that's when I took the extra time to make sure that she was in either gifted classes or a magnet school or charter school or whatever. And so now she's doing exceptionally well. I ain't have to put her on no drugs and all of that. I had to go through counseling. I had to whoop her behind, and I had to keep her challenged. And that's kind of like what got her balanced. So those are all of my comments.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I do think that, you know, I completely agree that as parents, what we see a lot now, I call it new age parenting, I don't know, is that we put a lot on the teachers, and we have to remember that we are, you know, our children's first teachers. And that never stops. You know, we don't stop. We're still their teachers. We're their advocates. You know, we are, that's what we are. And so you recognize that it was something going on with your daughter, and so you weren't lazy about it. And we do see a lot of lazy, I'm not trying to be mean, but we see a lot of lazy parenting these days who don't want to, and there are a lot of parents that don't want to put forth the effort, you know, to do what needs to be done. And so then we have an increase of problems. We just do. And we were talking about on Friday, you know, how you were talking about your son. He's just now starting to, you know, want to do his work. And that is something that we kind of hit on Friday, too, because my brother, he was like that. And, you know, we know some – I don't know what it is. I don't know why it – I guess it is, like you said, a maturity level. But sometimes it is just that lack of motivation sometimes. And, you know, I'm wondering if there's something that we could – change within the classroom that would help to give, you know, our boys the motivation that they may be missing, so that it's not that, you know, they're bored or they don't want to do it. You know, do you all think it's something that we're missing? Or do you think it's just they'll get it when they want to?
Something is missing. I believe something is missing because each and every child has their own way of learning something, and it's up to the teacher to kind of find that. I remember when I was growing up, it seemed like learning was a little bit more interactive. The teacher got us up, especially like when it came to a math concept that he or she seen that the students weren't getting. So she made it fun to learn, and that's what I think is wrong with the school system right about now. You're not making it fun to learn. Everybody has to sit down, and then everybody has to do this. Everything is such a structured lesson. Everybody has a structured curriculum. Nobody makes learning fun to where you'd be like, oh, yeah, we learned like 2 + 2 = 4 by counting. You know, our teacher brought us some guinea pigs or something. You know, and that's the type of thing that my teachers used to do when I was coming through school. And I realize now, you know, to me, ADHD, I understand that it is a real thing, but I also don't think as a child I've seen it, because it seemed like we were constantly on the move, to the point when you got home from school, you ate your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you did your homework, you took a nap.
Right.
So I don't, you know, like the teaching now, you know, like I just went to my my two younger daughters' conference. And also, Shannon, thank you for giving me some hope, because I got an 18-year-old son who still doesn't study. So at 19, I'm hoping he studies. So, so when I went there, she did say, you know, that my youngest child, my 6-year-old, she does get up, you know, and move around. But she also allowed for that, because she then turned it into a, okay, you're done, you can go help the next student who's taking, you know, a little bit longer, maybe having an issue. So it made it a little bit more interactive for her, and they're both learning something instead of being penalized for getting up. So
right.
I think it's just teaching and how you make your classroom a little bit more fun for a child who gets bored easily.
Right, right.
Yeah,
being creative.
It does need to be more interactive, because what I found when Imani was in maybe the first grade, and when she was rich, she never sat down. She didn't want to sit down. She wanted to teach her class. she was just wide open during that time. But in her gifted classes, the learning methods was different. They did things with their hands. And so they learned by actually doing something instead of being told, or, you know, instead of the standard teaching. So, but she never got in trouble. And so that's when with that particular situation, I was like, okay, she got to get up out of this school because it is not going to work. So that's when I started looking into different schools. You know, and it's so unfortunate that I have to drive across the world, you know, to take all of, because, you know, it's different ages, so they had different schools. And I'm all over Georgia trying to make sure my children receive a decent education because it is so tough. It's so challenging. And the way, and now they've made, you know, learning to me is so political. Like, they have so much stuff to do on an administrative level. The teachers, because I have a couple of friends that are teachers, they're educators. And so they tell me, you know, what they have to do. And it's all of this stuff that doesn't have anything to do with how you're going to teach your classroom. So I think just because of the requirements now, it just takes away from the way it used to be. And then back in the day, I don't remember having all this ADHD, and I don't remember nobody in class that couldn't sit their behind down, and, you know, all this mess that they talk about. It's just crazy to me. So
they had
paddles.
The principal had paddles back in the day. Your mama, daddy, they were able to come up to the school and, you know, get you straight or sign you out and bring you back without the fear of losing,
going to jail,
all of their children, you know. So that's why we didn't have all of that. Not that it's not real, because I do believe that it's real, but I just think it's overdiagnosed.
It is. Yeah, it is overly diagnosed. And that's a money market. Because if you put your child on drugs at the age of 5, by the time they 8, they're going to need a different dose. And by the time they 12, they're going to be addicted. You know, it's just crazy. So they get paid, you know, in the pharmaceutical industry, period, I think. But that's a different conversation. But, yeah, it's a lot, and it's a lot of responsibility on the parents. My mama didn't have to worry about nothing. I don't remember her checking my homework ever, to be perfectly honest. I came home, I did my homework. Did you do your homework? Yes. You know, I checked my brother's homework, and that was it. You know, it wasn't, oh, mama, I got a project, I need a poster board, I don't know. It's now, as a parent, we have to make sure that our children are receiving what they need, because these tests are absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And my son, I will say this, he didn't, like, he's doing work now because he's in his zone. Like, he's a fashion designer, so he's in his element. That's where he wants to be. And so now he, you know, telling me he wrote a paper. Oh, for real? You did what? So that was our conversation tonight, and he's motivated. So it has to be some type of motivation there, I think, to help some of these children, to some of our boys, because it's just the way it is.
I agree. And, I mean, there's just some things that they, you know, they make us learn when we're in grade school that we just really don't care about. We learn it, you know, but we really just, so it's not interesting because we don't really care about it. But I still don't understand why I need algebra. I never got that. Not me. I don't need that in my life. I don't need it in my life. So I don't know. Just doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know about in any other state, but I know in Minnesota they are so focused on the technology that, and maybe one of the big problems is that, look, I was talking, you know, to some of the kids, and they're like, oh, you know, they don't have, their book bags don't have books and everything. They don't have notebooks. They give them a laptop, and this is what they're working on. And then, so then, and I know that when I work and I'm always looking at a computer screen for 8 hours a day, I get tired, I get antsy, you know, and maybe that's a part of the problem too, where they have the kids looking at computer screens all the time, and they, and like some of the other women were saying, you know, they're not up, they're not doing anything active. They have really kind of stopped even like field trips. They have these glasses that you put on, and the teacher's connected to like a big computer or whatever, and then you're virtually there. You know, now.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Like, they're not doing stuff with the kids anymore. So, and you know, recess, they, I mean, they've really cut that back. So, when do the kids burn out their energy? When do they get up? You know, a 10-minute stretch if you were in every class is not it.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is. But, you know, that's the world we're living in now. You can go to grade school online. I mean, I understand. Huh?
I was just saying that is the direction that the world is going in.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I understand online colleges because you have adults that have to work. You know, you don't get the full effect, but, you know, you do, if you apply yourself, you know, you can learn. But understand that if you're working and, you know, you have kids, so I understand, you know, that for adults. But they have these, you know, K-12 virtual schools now. I don't know. It's just that's the way that's what we're going to now. You know, where they can sit there at home on a computer and go to school. Never have to leave, you know, the computer.
And there's a school district here that does not give homework. They said the kids are not going to do it anyway, so they don't even send homework home at night.
That was my last question, Lily, so I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I have it written down right here. Does homework help?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Homework is good. I'll say until homework is good, but it can be too long. Since being here, we've been in Alaska for about a month, and I have one son that's in the ninth grade, and he has homework for 3 to 4 hours every night because he's doing 6 classes worth of homework. And I think it's become too much.
Yeah, that's like being in school all over again. That's like
I can agree with that.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I know with Imani at her school, she's usually up as well, doing homework. And in her program, like, she's in honors, and typically, well, even before she got into the honors program, it still was a lot of homework. At all her schools, honestly, it has been a lot. And I don't know if that could be because they really don't have time to teach the way they used to because of all of this other stuff that the teachers have to do now. But I think, like I said before, I don't understand, you know, why the teachers don't meet together. They are on teams. Typically, you kind of know what the other teacher is doing because you guys are on team ABC, whatever. So you should know, okay, well, we're not going to overload the students. You know, we can kind of balance it out or something. But, yeah, it is a lot of homework. But it
if
does
they're on
help.
Teams, they should be following, like, kind of the same curriculum that everything should be
exactly.
Blended together. But the only thing I have a problem about homework is if the teacher is not giving feedback to tell the child if they're learning the concept correctly or not. That's the only problem I have about homework. You know, don't just give them a star. Don't just, you know, cross it out or whatever. Tell them if they have it or what your personal thought is. That's the only problem I have with homework. Even in my graduate studies, you know, I'm not sure if I'm getting it or not, but if you ain't giving me feedback and I'm just getting the points, I just have to say that I'm safely getting it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the difference in, you know, instructors, because, you know, Mish, when I was going to Capella, you know, our instructors, they gave feedback to mostly all of us. But now, this instructor that I have now, I have gotten feedback, but it's like he picks and chooses. He'll give me feedback when he gives his grade, but you know how not it's he chooses who he interacts with, you know, with as far as the discussion is concerned. And I don't know if
right.
I really like that. Like, you should interact
right.
with, I mean, there's only like 7 of us, so why aren't you, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
No, I'm just saying, don't get me wrong. I just went through a whole entire 7.5-week class of career development. I did a paper where I had to interview somebody, and in the rubric it said I needed to have 5 references. So you docked me 1 point, but you didn't tell me what you docked me that point for. So I got 19 out of 20, but I don't know. It wasn't because I didn't have 5 references or because I misspelled a word. I don't know. They are doing too much, and I'm paying you a lot of money, and I need you to tell me what I did wrong. Why you take my point? Because I thought I got
that's
20
right.
out of 20. I was doing good.
Okay, you work for me.
Okay. You know?
So I need you to remember you work for me.
I know that's right, Pastor.
Oh, that's true, though. That's true. Well, this has been another good show. I thank everyone for the input. And I guess we just need to, you know, what can we do to make a change? We're talking about it. I guess, you know, what we always say, go to, you know, get involved with PTA. And I don't know. Make sure we do our part first at home with our kids. And because
and
I do
sure,
think
I
that
think
there's.
If you have a good. I think I just want to add, because I ain't never been a PTA mama. I pay the money, but I don't. But if I have a problem with the teacher, because I remember one Jerron's teacher he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. But by the time I got through with my conversation, he had tutorial. So many times we have to be in their face, you know, especially if we know we have a child or a challenged child or whatever the case. We have to make these teachers do their job. I mean, we can't help what's going on with what's required of them, but we know what they feel supposed to offer. And if they're not doing it, then we need to address it.
Right.
Right.
And I also
right.
believe in going to them school board meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You can find a lot in a school board meeting.
Yep, that's right. And like I said, if you have, you know, for those of us, because we know we all have different areas, but more of us do, you know, should be involved. I haven't been to a school board meeting yet. I do plan on going, but I am involved, you know, with Jeremiah's teachers. And then, and even when you know that they are doing their best, because we do know that teachers are under a lot of stress, and, you know, they have overcrowded classrooms, and then they have kids whose parents are not involved like we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have some just disobedient disrespect for children. And if you have two of those, just two, which usually they have more than that, in a class of, like, 27, 28, that's just tiresome. You know, that's just, it is. So, you know, yeah, being involved and making sure we are doing our part with trying to make sure our kids do their part, trying, but just coming together and working together for the good, you know, for the good of,
right.
of the children. Yeah. Well, we thank you guys for calling in on tonight, and we're going to go ahead and shut it down. Everybody in the house has a lot of homework to do, so going to stay busy. And Kenny and I won't be here on Friday, but my brother and my sister-in-law are supposed to be the guest host. So if you guys are available, please do call in and support them if you can. But we love you guys. Thank you all for calling again, and have a great week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.